Mama, he smiled real big right there, Mama. He smiled real big. But listen, listen. And then, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. What is all that going to do? Why don't you watch and look at what Jesus did? Jesus transcended out of the old and into the new. What did he do? He excelled out of the old mindset into a new covenant. That is transcending, getting out of something old and establishing something new. Excel in it. Go above and beyond, perfect it. Jesus could have came and stayed in that same mindset. But he didn't. Why didn't he? Because he knew his purpose. He knew what he was sent to do. And he didn't go in different directions that felt like it was the right thing to do. He stayed doing what God told him to do. His daddy. That's why it's important, you children. You better listen to mom and dad. Better listen. All of y'all. And some of you grown folks. Better listen. You don't understand, but daddy, he's out there. Now the scripture says that you better honor your mother and father. Yeah. Better honor. Finish the sentence. Parents, don't provoke your children. You understand what he's saying is we need to come together. We need to have respect for one another. And it starts in the home. Do you know why society is so messed up? Because we got away from the ear pulling, got away from the switch. Now you're going to go to jail because you discipline your own child. Please, people. You're wondering why this world is so messed up? Because all these crybabies don't want to get told the truth. It's time to come out of that and it's time to grow up. Watch this. As a man, he came and was baptized in the river by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist says, I'm not even fit to loose your sandal. You see, he excelled even in his identity, who he is. Then whenever he walked up, they knew immediately, that's the Christ. Dude, when you walk up to people, do they know that Christ is in you? Again? Yeah. No, not because you're carrying a Bible or you got a cross or a collar. I ain't talking about a dog collar. The white collar that everybody wants to wear because that means that they're a minister. Really? The greatest people that display Jesus is in love. Not attitude. Not disappointment. We can get disappointed, but don't live a life of disappointment because things don't go your way. Have you been trying something over and over and it just doesn't change? Have you? Have you been trying to change circumstances at school, your job, relationship? Hasn't changed, right? Are you insane? Are you insane? You're trying it, but it hasn't changed. So you might want to change what you're trying to do. Maybe change yourself. Well, this is what God is saying. Look, I've been up here. I've been watching y'all. I've been praying for y'all. That's why the Bible says that when he left, he went to go sit at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. You know why? Because we need prayer. Here's the thing. The very last thing that he said when he was on the cross is what? We just had Easter service. Ask a question. And what's the last thing Jesus spoke? It is finished. So then he comes back. Here's the thing. He goes first. Where does he go? Down to hell, right? Mm-hmm. Goes down to hell. He gets the keys to hell, death, and the grave. All power and authority is given to him. So he comes up. He's all excited. Yeah, I'm coming up. And then he's going to go with the Father at the right hand of the Father. And then he comes back. I got to pray for these folks. Read it. He's like, I just came from hell. I got all the keys. I gave it to them and I gave them my spirit. I gave them the power. I give the power that's in heaven. I give it to them now. I've already conquered everything that's in hell. They ain't nothing to worry about. I got to pray for them because they still ain't got it yet. But he said it was finished. His purpose was finished. Now watch this. What does "it's finished" mean? Now remember, what was he doing? What was his father? Joseph. What was his father doing? He was a carpenter. Think about it. Think about it. He's a carpenter. And as a carpenter, he's got to make tables and chairs and couches, whatever, for the people. So when a project is done, I'm sure Jesus is over there. He's hammering away, putting things together, put the Elmer's glue here, putting everything together, the gum, and you stick it, whatever. And then when it's all done, he looks over at Daddy. It's finished, Dad. It's done. Complete. I don't have to do it anymore. It's done. But here's the thing. When you're working on something like that, that doesn't have its will, doesn't have its emotions, once you complete it, it's complete. But when you have will and emotion tied in, oh my God, you go through so much because you choose in your reactions. That's what he's trying to say. I have conquered this. Watch this. He came as a man, and the Jews made him king. As a man. Daniel, I'm going to make you king. Just going to make you king because I see what's working inside of you. We're going to make you king. He excelled in stature. Understand? He overcame. He did everything and exceeded in everything he did so that people wanted to make him king. So what ultimately happened? He became king of kings. He transcended priesthood. Right? Okay, now Jesus comes. He's a man. He understands all your sufferings. You know the ones because your cable bill got turned off so you don't have, you know, cable. So he understands your sufferings. How about this one? Your phone bill got turned off, your cell phone. He understands your suffering. Some of y'all can't live with that one. He understands everything. He understands all of the things that you're going through so that when you go to God, he says, I exceeded above that so that you have that same power, authority, and ability to exceed that. But if you don't know how to tap into it, you're going to stay in that state. We have got to excel. Now, I was so smart in high school, I didn't have to go every day. We're smarter than the teachers, you know, because we're at that age. And so, I didn't have to go all the time. I was special. Until they told me that you didn't have accumulated enough hours. What that mean? You're not going to graduate because you don't have enough hours unless you go to summer school. I'll be there. Haven't you seen that most of us at the last minute try to do everything at the last minute? How many of you are like that? Raise your hand. Look at that. Bunch of Christians, look at y'all. Waiting for last minute. What? Our nature. What if Michael Jordan, same scenario, what if he waited for the last minute to work out on his skills to see if he'd make it on the team? He would have missed it again. Ding, 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 ding. God is trying to tell us, you better get things in motion. You better start checking that attitude. Better start checking that unforgiveness. You better start checking that wandering eye. You better start checking the way you speak to mom and dad. Same. To check the way y'all make fun of pastor all the time. Just playing. Because he wants us to excel. But we get so comfortable with grace. It's the grace of God. It's not grace when you take advantage of it. It's not grace when you take advantage of it. Now you're trying to manipulate God and control God. Really? Are you going to win? No. He's going to let you know he's God. Oh, he's really going to let you know. So Jesus excelled in his stature in the way he was, even as he came as a boy. Here's the postures of Jesus. Watch this. When Jesus came, he was laying in a manger. He laid in a manger. But even the stars announced his birth. Even the wise men understood that he was born when he was laying in a manger. You read later, he was standing in the temple preaching. He was standing in the church. Standing. Look at the postures. When he came to get baptized, he came and he humbled himself to be baptized. He got laid into the water. The postures of Jesus. When he was in the garden, he was prostrate. He was laying down before the Lord. When he was in the other garden, he was hung on a cross. Scripture says that in Mark 16:19 is the basis of this scripture. It says, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. His posture was sitting. But then you read that during the trials of Stephen being stoned in Acts 7:54-59, he was standing. Standing. Do you see the different postures of Jesus? Do you see the different things that Jesus did from a baby to a boy to a man to a king? All power and authority given to him. Here's what I want to share with you. Christ was made the Lord of all, the King as the ruler, the head of the body, the leader, the Savior, and now he is much more than our high priest. He is I am. He is God. But he came as a man, and he transcended the very limitations of man and proved his deity in his walk. He proved that he can do it. He proved everything, and he fulfilled every prophecy from thousands of years before. He fulfilled every single one. No man on earth can do that. He transcended everything. Christ did not just die and was resurrected, but he also ascended to the highest place in the universe. Do you understand that? First, he came from the heavenly realm, comes down through space, comes down into this earthly realm, and then he goes down to hell. On his way back, he comes through hell, comes through this earth, comes through the heavenly realm, and then gets now at the right hand of the Father in the highest realm. He superseded, he exceeded, he excelled, he did everything, he transcended. But when he transcended, he excelled in everything. Why did he excel in everything? Because he stayed under the will of God. I only speak what I hear my Father say. I only do as my Father tells me to do. That's a key right there for you youngsters. Christ transcended hell, the place below the earth where the dead people are held. That's Ephesians 2:20-21. He defeated the one over the power of death. He took the keys of death and walked out of hell in victory. Now the gates of hell will not prevail. So what, you're going to go down to hell, take the keys. Now is hell going to prevail? Is hell going to prevail? No, it's not going to prevail. So why are we so worried about what the devil's doing? What the demons are doing? It will not prevail against you. When he went down to hell, he ascended, he transcended above that, and he exceeded through it, and he gave you the power. But the body is resting, thinking that they can't do based out of fear. How many of you had a bad dream? You know, the one where you can't open your mouth? And you're so scared. Jesus! And you wake up, you wake yourself up by saying Jesus. See how fear is? Even in your sleep, the fear gets you. Fear is the very thing that the enemy is going to use to keep you from going up. How many of you want to go up? Christ accomplished many things. He didn't just transcend, he transcended above and beyond everything that was presented to him. Colossians 1:18, in his ascension, Christ is the head of the body, the church, having the first place in all things. First place. He gives scripture and gives analogies that it's better to be at the end instead of at the beginning. It's better to be beneath than above. This is what he's talking about in our humility, in our placement. But then God promotes him into another place. Headship. Who's the head of the church? Jesus is. He's the church, but he's the head of the church. Do you see promotion there? First, he's in the temple. He's in the church. He's preaching. But now God makes him ruler of the church. He's the head of the church. Do you see progression? Do you see promotion? Do you see exceeding? Excelling? This is what we must do. We can't be known as a church that only does the same thing over and over and expecting a change. How many different programs are churches going to start? How many singles ministries are we going to have? How many men's group, women's group, children's group, infant group? All these groups are great. It's just to keep you busy. But what's going on outside? What's going on in the cities around you? What's going on the neighbor around you? What about all those people that are out there that need to know that it's okay to come into a church and they'll accept you for who you are? How many of you know that there's Bibles being written right now? Huh? And these Bibles are taking Christ right out of it. And they're placing the name of a familiar rapper. Kanye. It's already done. In the place of Jesus is Kanye. That's done. It's not about the concert. It's he is actually blaspheming against God and he's coming against it. And people are flocking to him because of influence. There's more influence with entertainers than they are with preachers and Christians throughout the land. How is it that the church is so far behind the times that we think that we're going to change the world when we're out of position? I went to the mayor's breakfast on Tuesday morning and I saw all these pastors from different big churches, big churches. Bless you. And I sat there looking at them and they had their suits on and I was saying, I like suits, don't get me wrong. Just chill out, hold on. And I'm watching them. Do they really have a heart for God? Do they really have a heart for the city? You know, it was a buffet, so I figured they went because they wanted to go eat. 7 o'clock in the morning downtown, there's something dragging you there. So I figured, okay, let's see what the heart will be displayed. The mayor gets up and she begins to tell us what her heart is for the city. Other pastors begin to tell that we need to gather. Pastors need to gather and bring down these walls of separation and segregation. That we must begin to unite together regardless of our background, your theology, religiosity, what religion you are. We need to unite. There was Baptist, there was Methodist, Church of God in Christ. There was so many people there. A lot of people in there. A whole bunch of them. They began to worship just two songs. The first song, you felt the presence of God so strong. Just weeping and crying. So you know me. Same ones that I was wondering about in their suits. Crying under the presence of God. I know that God is doing something. Man has built up walls. Man has separated and segregated his church as opposed to uniting the church. And he would say that's division. It's not division when you're united for the king. However, all of these types of legalisms and all these types of separatist types of groups where, you know, because if you're not from on the outside of 1604, you're not really a church because all the mega churches are on the outside. And if you're in a strip center, you're not really a church, you're just a ministry. Oh, and if you don't have a church building, you're just one of those that have a ministry of help. You understand that all this has been going on for so long. And people put a stigma on people trying to do the will of God. We have to come together. And we've got to work together so that we can transcend out of this mess that we're in. When you see political officials coming together so that they can unite the city, and not just this city, but other cities together, you're about to see the hand of God be displayed. They made an alarming statistic on how many people voted. Do you remember the number? 55,000 that voted last year. Oh, the council voting. That's it. The percentage was very, very low. For this city. Pretty bad, isn't it? And where are the Christians getting mad because they passed a bill that, you know, transgender can walk into any place at any time. One moment, 1 minute, they can be a woman and say, oh, you know what? I'm a man today. And walk right into a man's restroom and we can't stop them. Oh, but the church didn't show up in numbers like they were supposed to. But we're mad at it. If the church does not get involved in what's going on in the cities, that's why the city is in so much turmoil. We don't even have the right officials in office because the church doesn't pray their conviction and vote their conviction what the Holy Spirit is teaching them. And they only go to what they hear and what they want. And they vote someone in office and only find out that's not what we needed. And now we're crying about it. Can we be the church that would transcend back into position but excel in it? Are you hearing me? We can't be the church and not reach people where they're at because we're afraid of the economics. I hope you hear what I'm saying. The church has been in a situation, in a state of being for such a long time. Everybody's getting rich because they're getting behind a pulpit, taking your tithes and your offering, but they're not doing anything with it. I'm glad you said what you said, Eric, because everything that comes into this house, it goes right back into this church. It goes into other ministries. I'm going to say it. It goes into some of y'all's bills, too. Why? Because I know God called us to be a sower. We're going to help people. We're going to sow into people's lives. We want to have people change. It's not about us keeping money. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to get blessed. Oh, I'm going to get blessed. And when I get my truck, shoo, you're going to know I got my truck. Amen. Don't you be a hater. You better start celebrating. Yeah. When you work hard at what you do and you excel in what you're doing and you put all your efforts into it, God's going to see fit to bless you because he's saying you're not doing it for your own gain. You're doing it to gain my favor. But we got churches that are so full, so big, but we don't have everybody. I'm not against the mega churches either. I want to have one too. But I'm just telling you, we got to do more and quit sitting in the churches just saying I'm a Christian, but you ain't doing what Christ did. Walking around and you ain't seeing people say, oh my God, I feel the presence of God on you. What is going on? There's something special about the power that's inside of you. But we're afraid to use it. You know what the biggest thing that I hear all the time from Christians? I was led. The Lord said. God said. God said too much to you. God said too much to you. Did he complete the last thing he told you? Did he complete that? Then God didn't say you said. Doing the prophetic class, told them the other day, is that you're going to hear from God, you're going to hear from yourself, and then you're going to hear from a familiar spirit. Discern it. Which one is it? Is it truly God speaking? God wants to get his body into position so that when people come to the church, they're not being judged, first of all. People are not being critical. They're not wondering what their economic background is or is at that very moment. Or this one really irks me. Are you tithing? You know why we don't do membership? And I don't track whether or not they're tithing. The only reason why we give that to you is in case you want to get a tax deduction. If you don't want a tax deduction, tell me. They don't even track it. I won't track it. Do you know that, and I told this to my wife, I said, our tithes and offering is not our source. He's our source. And I know this to be true because when I was with Pastor Jimmy Robles, he gave a testimony, his testimony. And when he gave me his testimony, guess where he started? He started in a vacant lot reaching out to homeless. Homeless people. They ain't got a J-O-B. Got no money. His tithes were what? $8? $16 a month. $16 a month. I mean, you preachers now are going to say, well, I ain't doing that one. I'm going to go on the north side. Yeah, $16 a month. You're going to meet him. He's going to be here tomorrow. Amen. Watch this. Oh, you know what? Just take it, because I don't want to go back to it. Listen, $16 a month, then he gets blessed with a building. Someone comes in, writes him a check, go buy that building. Buys the building. Not only that, then they send someone over there to him from the same person. They'll take you to dinner. Come on. Dress up. Well, I thought we're just going to go eat. This is what he said out of his mouth. We're going to go have tacos, right? Think I'm playing. Sat him down. This fork is for your salad. This is for your meal. This spoon is for your dessert. This is for your bread. This is for your steak. This is for your coffee. Here's, trained him. Why? Because he was doing what God told him to do to reach those that nobody wanted to reach. At that very same dinner, keys were put right in front of him. What's that for? Those are yours. Like every Mexican will do. Get the keys. Go outside. Hit the remote. Ford F-250. Diesel brand new. Yours. $16 a month. Do you understand? That wasn't the motive. The motive is I'm out for the people doing what God told me to do. And as I do what God is telling me to do, God will take care of the rest. Right? Ain't that good? Uh-huh. You know that we were going to rent a passenger van so we can bring the pastors, right? Over $300 to do that. It's okay. We're going to do everything right and do it in excellence, right? So after the mayor's breakfast meeting, we go to Bridging the Gap meeting. Esther right here goes, hey, Jimmy, how you doing, sir? How you doing? Hey, do you rent out your bus? He goes, rent? I don't rent no bus. I lend them out. You lend out your bus? He goes, yeah, do you need it? Oh, yeah, I do. I'm having a conference. And matter of fact, will you come to the conference? I'd like for you to come and come get blessed. He goes, yeah, I'll be there Thursday. Tell Sal. Sal's going to go and make sure it's gassed up. All you got to do is just show up and pick it up. Well, watch this. $16 a month, right? Oh, I'll tell somebody else's testimony. Let him tell his own for you. But I know what I'm telling you is that he didn't look at his circumstance, and his circumstance didn't dictate to him that he was only going to stay in a parking lot just feeding these people. He looked beyond that and he said, God, this is what you have me to do. This is what I will do. Regardless of the amount of money. It's all about the heart. And he excelled in it. Why did he excel in it? Because it wasn't about personal gain. It wasn't about anything else. You bless me, I'm going to bless others. Yeah, I have never met someone like this man. And I told him, to me and you, we're... when you meet him, you're going to think, is that him? I introduced him to my mom and dad the other day. None of them met him too. That's him. Where? Exactly. Over there. Where? Which one? The Mexican. They're all Mexican. Understand? He wasn't trying to look at me. It wasn't about that. Not about that. And what I'm trying to tell you is that God is trying to get his church back into position. Quit being afraid of what people think about you. Do what he's telling you to do. Go out and do it and excel in it. Transcend in that very thing. And so when the Lord told me that in November of last year, he says, I am transcending my body. And they're going to let go of all that old stuff that has them so bound, has them caught up in all this kind of mess. And I'm going to take them where they've never been. But it requires them to let go and to trust me. I mean, you going to trust God? You want to trust God? You want to trust God? You want to trust him? Yes, your answer should always be yes. You want to trust him. Why do you want to trust him? Because he'll never lead you astray. He'll never leave his seed begging bread. He'll never take you somewhere. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He's not going to give you, my God, who is this for? He's not going to take you out of one place. You were making such amount of dollars here. And you know what your bills are, and you were making it there. But then he puts you someplace else, and you're not making the same amount. But God knows how to get what you need to you. Sometimes what you need is not the dollar amount. Sometimes you need to be stressed in your faith. How many of you have been stretched in your faith? You don't feel good, does it? Ooh. How many of you is he stretching you to say, I want you to learn more about me? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. What is he stretching? He's stretching your faith so that you can excel. Why is he stretching your faith? So you can supersede. Why is he stretching your faith? So that you can leave where you're at to go somewhere you haven't been. Why is he stretching your faith? It's so that you can leave all that mess behind and be liberated from the thing that had you bound. But if we kind of hold on to that, you know, this is who I am. No, it ain't. You're denying the identity of Christ that's in you. You haven't realized who you are. Once you realize who you are, I guarantee you it's going to change you. I'm living proof now. I am living proof. I know what God did for me. Some of y'all don't know me. Mama know me. Oh, mama know me. So my auntie right here knows me. They know how I was optimal, was. But it wasn't until God got a hold of me. And the way he got a hold of me, oh, did he stretch my faith. Oh, he stretched my faith. He rocked my very world. But when he did it, in that very moment that he did it, my whole being changed. And then I said no more to Jack. I said yes to Marty. Why? Because I understood my identity in him. I understood what he was saying all along. But I couldn't recognize it. I couldn't see it because I was so bound in everything that was the same. But once he came in, he said, I'm going to take you out of that mindset. And I'll transcend you into my mindset. And you will see things like you've never seen before. You're going to see things in the heavenly realm. And it's going to open for you. And when you see it, you're not only going to see it, you're going to experience. And you're going to teach others how to obtain it. How? By trusting God. And not your own ability, but God's ability. Because if you can do it, it's not God. But if God has to step in and do it for you.